This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Amen. How many know God is good, right? It is awesome to serve the Lord. And yes, even in the midst of summer, God is still good, right? And I came home. I have this wonderful family and that started attending our church. They own a sprinkler company, and they did our sprinklers and our sod and our yard. And then he called me on a Friday before we left for camp and said, "Hey, we have a customer that backed out, and I've got some sod that's either going to die or you can have it. You can come pick it up, and you can put extra sod in your yard." And so I tried to find somebody in the church to help me, but nobody wanted to help me. So I had to do it by myself with my beautiful wife. And so we went and loaded up all this sod, and we laid it out. And we went away to camp, and we came back, and part of it was brown. And I'm like, "What's going on here?" And then, long story short, I'm not a techie mechanical guy. So I'm like, finding out my sprinklers are barely spraying out. I'm like, "I paid for this." No. So I sent it to the people attending our church. I said, "Lee, what's going on? What do you think?" And he goes, "You got to go in the crawl space and clean the filter out." "You didn't tell me that." And so this filter's full of dirt. And so I cleaned it out, and then my sprinklers work like they were brand new, right? And so in the midst of all that, we're trying to revive sod that was deprived of water. So in the midst of the summer, God is still good, right? And he still provides for us, and he still watches over us. And that's what's so awesome about serving this wonderful God. And so today I want to talk to us real quickly on wins and losses. Wins and losses. And you'll kind of understand it as we get into it. I'm going to jump right in, and we're going to be reading real quick out of the book of Joshua. And Joshua, if you know anything, just a quick background. Joshua, at this part where we're going to read, Joshua has just, they've overtaken much of the promised land, where they had to go in. The promised land was the land that God had promised all the Israelites as they left Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And Joshua's ultimately the leader that's going to lead them into this promised land. But along the journey to get that promised land, they had to fight battles after battles after battles, and win after win after win. And so they're at a place now where they're about to take over the promised land. And he's writing in Joshua this one particular point of scripture where he's summarizing their victories. He's given them, the people of Israelites, he's given his descendants this summary of what they have done, what they've had to accomplish to get where they are today. And so this is what it says, Joshua chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, it'll be on the screen for you. Joshua chapter 12, starting at verse 7, it says, These are the kings of the land that Joshua and the Israelites conquered on the west side of the Jordan from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halek, which rises towards Seir. Their lands Joshua gave as an inheritance to the tribes of Israel, accounting to their tribe, to their tribal divisions. The hill country, the western foothills, the Araba, the mountain slopes, the desert, and the Negev, the lands of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Cellulites, Anyway, we all hate cellulite. Anyway, and it says this, it says, the king of Jericho, get this, one. The king of Ai near Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. Now, we'll just stop there for a minute. You get where we're going here? You got it? Okay, so we'll go all the way down to verse 24. The king of Tirzah, one. 31 kings in all. It's 31's one. He's given them this account of what they've accomplished and what they've gone through. He went in detail. Instead of just saying, "Hey, we conquered 31 kingdoms," he went specifically, 1:1:1. Now, when I was reading this passage, I was fumbling through and I was reading this passage of scripture. I'll just be really blunt and honest with you this morning. I saw this and I quickly read through it and I just turned the page quickly because I thought this, I saw this and I thought it really has no application for me. Probably maybe even if I read this morning, you'll be thinking, I don't know where he's going. This literally has no application to me. So I turned the page and I skipped it. But how many know that sometimes reading the Bible is hard? Sometimes you read it and it's just hard. And I'm reading this, the kings of this and the kings of that, 1:1. And I'm like, next chapter, please. It's like if you've ever read Matthew and you start reading the genealogies, you're like, I don't have time for this. But how many know there is a point to the genealogies? And there's a point to what's being said here. And so the moment I turn the page, as I'm just reading through Joshua, I think God paused me. And I felt like the Holy Spirit's like, don't do that. Why do you do that? Why are you so quick, Heath? Why are you so quick, CLC, to pass over the wins? To pass over the wins. Here's what I believe. God gives us blessing in our lives, and he helps us through a lot of challenges in our lives. We pass through, and before we even pause, before we even reflect, before we even express gratitude, we're on to the next thing. Many times before we pause and calculate all the things that God has done, we look ahead to everything we still have to face in our lives. Many times before we pause and give thanks for what God has been, what God has done in our lives, what he's been doing, many times we're already asking, we're already pointing to the next battle in our lives instead of pausing. Can I encourage us this morning? I think about the worship set that was this morning. Can I encourage us this morning? Listen, don't skip the wins. Don't skip the wins. God says, hey, every blessing I've given, every conflict I've resolved, every paycheck you received, every breath that we take sometimes is overlooked, and we're on to the next. We're on to the next thing. Never time to celebrate, never time to reflect, never time just to say thank you. And I want to submit to you today that there is greater joy, there is greater understanding, there is greater peace, greater faith, in fact, greater certainty when we don't skip the wins. When we don't skip the wins. When we stop and we calculate all that God has really done for us. There's power when we don't skip the wins. And I get it. It's hard to say thank you when you're in the middle of the battle. It's hard. It's hard to stop and pause and look for the positive when you're in the middle of whatever it is that you may be going through. And when I'm reading the Bible, many times I'm reading the Bible for a battle. Many times I'm reading the Bible preparing for a sermon. God, what do you want me to speak on a Sunday morning? And if I don't think it applies, let's be honest, I just turn the page. We like that. Many times we're like, hey, I'm just looking for what applies to my situation. If it doesn't, then I turn the page. And I get it. It's hard to give praise when there's pressure. It's hard to give praise when there's pressure in your life. I get it that it's hard to be happy when you're hurting. I get that. It's hard to be happy when you're hurting. But can I say something to you? Even in battle, there's bunkers. Even in battles, there's bunkers. There's moments when you have to just huddle down, right? Where you have to just sit down and you just have to take a deep breath. And you have to say, we know it's not over, but hey, we've made it this far. We know it's not over, but we've made it this far, right? We aren't done yet. It's not over yet. We've got some but we do have some victories to be thankful for. We're in the war's not over. We're in the midst of the battle, but we still have victories that you and I can be thankful for. And listen, I believe this. God told me to tell someone today, I know that this year may not have been perfect for you so far as we're halfway through it. And I know some of you, it has been tough what you've been walking through. And here's what God wants me to tell you today. In the midst of whatever it is you're walking through, don't skip the wins. Don't skip the wins. It's sad, but true statement. It'll be on the screen. Get this. We spend a lot of time thinking about the battles we're fighting, even more time thinking about the battles we've lost, and almost no time thinking about the battles we've won. Think about that. Think about your life. Where's your reflection go? Where do your thoughts go? Are they bent toward the negative side? Are they bent toward like, oh no, what about this side? Oh no, what about me? Or do you ever stop and say, in the midst of everything I'm going through, there are things that I can be thankful for. There are things that I can be happy about. Don't skip the wins. I remember when Rachel was little, we took her to the American Girl doll store. Anybody know about that in Montana? I don't know if you know American Girl. Okay, well, I can tell you this. It's expensive. I can tell you that it's crazy. I can tell you that it's an experience. And we took her to the American Girl doll store, and it was a good day for her, not me, for her. Great day. And we went down, and she did the three-story, it's like three-story tall building. It has everything. It's interactive. I mean, it's more than every little girl could ever want. And we went there, and she got to leave with a little doll, and it was a great, she was little. And I remember putting her in her car seat, and she was really happy. I mean, she's like 4 years old or so, and she's like, she says to us, "Dad, Mom, this is the best day of my life." And I was like, that is awesome that you would think that. But I felt like telling my four-year-old daughter, remember that. Like, remember that. Because I knew that I was going to need to pull that card someday. Like, you remember when you said this was the best day of your life, you know? I knew I was going to need to pull that card. But I thought I may need to pull it, that card, months later or years later. I didn't know that I would need to pull it 40 minutes later. Because 40 minutes later, as we're driving home, we passed by a McDonald's. And they had the new Happy Meal toy out, right? And she knew this. And she said, "Daddy, can we stop and get a Happy Meal toy?" And I said, "No. No, I'm tired." Come on, parents. You've been there? You're tired. "I want to go home. We just went to the American Girl doll store. You got a toy. We're going home." And I remember in the back seat, I saw the lip start to quiver. You know what I'm talking about? And the tears start to flow down her face. And I'll never forget, she says to me, "You never give me anything." Followed by, "This is the worst day ever." Let me tell you something. I'm not upset that she complained. I'm actually glad that she felt comfortable enough with her dad that she could be honest about the way that she felt. I'm glad that she can cry to me. I'm glad that she could complain to me. And I'm glad that she could blame me. I'm glad that she's even talking to me. I'm not upset that she complained. I'm upset that she forgot. I'm upset that she forgot. Can I tell you that God's not mad that you complain? I think that he's glad that you have that kind of relationship with him, that you can cry to him, that you can complain to him, that you can yell at him and you can be mad at him. I think God's in heaven saying, "Come on, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm glad that you trust me enough to be honest with me." I think God looks and says, "I'm not mad that you're complaining. I'm just mad that you forgot. I'm just mad that you forgot. I'm just upset, hear me this morning, that you didn't put the one thing that I didn't do for you in the context of the thousand things that I did do for you. I'm just upset. You took the one thing that I didn't do for you, and you don't put it in the context of all the wins that I have done for you. I don't mind that you are being honest. The only problem with being honest is not that you are being honest, because is the fact that you're not being honest, because you're not being honest with yourself, church. And here's what the Bible says. Get this. Psalms 103 reminds us, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And forget not all his benefits. So here's a new rule for you this morning. Every time you complain, church, which it's okay to do, it's okay to complain to God, I'm just giving you this rule. Put your complaints in the context of your blessings. Put your complaints in the context of your blessing. Listen, it's okay to complain to God about your kids. Amen. He's the one who gave them to you. Complain about them. But at the same time, put that complaint in the context to the fact that you even have kids. Because when I know several families and several friends who can't have kids. Several friends and families who have spent thousands of dollars just to adopt one kid. Put your complaint in the context of your blessings. You can complain that your car breaks down, that you have a piece of junk, all right? You could complain about that. I understand it. Just yell about it. I don't like my car. That's fine. But just put the context, put that also in the context that you have, but your health is not breaking down. You could complain to God that your church, that God and your church hasn't done anything for you. That's fine. Complain about it, right? That's okay. But put it into the context of all the people who don't even know God as their personal Lord and Savior. Put it into the context of the billions of people who can't worship freely like you and I are today. Put it in the context of the people who would never have, would just love to have a church that they could meet at and be together. This was the problem with the Israelites, right? This was their issue when they left Egypt, when they were delivered out. They start to complain almost immediately. They start saying things, God, we're hungry, and God, we're thirsty, and God gets upset with them. He's not mad at them because they are hungry, and he's not mad at them because they are thirsty. Matter of fact, he gives them everything they ask for. Right? When he says, Lord, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we need some drink, we need water. He says, I'll give you water, but not only will I give you water, it'll come from a rock. They said, well, we're hungry, we need food. He's like, okay, fine, I'll just give you bread from heaven. Like he gave them everything they asked for. God's not mad because they're complaining. He's mad because after you complain, you said something, it's better for us to go back to Egypt. It's better for us just to go back to Egypt. And God's in heaven like, did you forget? Did you forget everything? Did you forget that what life was like in Egypt? Like, did you forget that, like, I know things aren't perfect. I know you're wandering in a desert, but it's better than it was back there. So I don't mind if you complain. God doesn't mind if you complain. Just don't forget. Just don't forget. Why? I wrote it down this way. When we forget the battles God won for us, we forget God. When we forget the battles that God won for us, we forget God. I mean, to my four-year-old daughter at the moment, at that moment, I was the meanest dad in the world, right? Because I didn't give her everything she wanted on that particular day. Listen, this morning, can I have what's called pastor permission? And pastor permission, do I have permission to say something real quick? No? Skip over it? Okay, all right. Can I just say this to you, and whether it applies to you or not, but I feel like it's elementary, but I have to say it. God's not mean because you don't get everything you want. God's not mean because you don't get everything you want. Because when we have this tendency, when it doesn't go our way, when things don't seem to happen spiritually our way, we have this mindset that says things like, there is no God. We have this mindset that tends to creep that says, he doesn't love me. We have this mindset that creeps in that says, he's out to get me. I've said this one a million times before. When I feel like God, I always say, other people have more favor than me. Like God has a favorite. Or something. Or maybe our mindset gets to the place where it says this isn't worth the work, the effort, and the sacrifice. And can I just say to you, that's not God. It's not God to be mean to you. It's not God to deprive you in any way. You know whose plan it was from the beginning to give you that mindset? It was the devil's plan. It was the enemy's plan. I mean, right from the very beginning, if you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, listen to what it says. Now the serpent, who is the devil, representing Lucifer, the enemy. Now the serpent was more crafty, sneaky, than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You must not eat from any tree in the garden. Now, for those of you who don't know the Bible story, who might not know this story of Adam and Eve, can I just say to you, no, God did not say that. The crafty serpent said that. You know what God said? You know what he said? You can eat from every tree except that one. Except that one right there. So how does the devil do it for us? How does he speak to our minds? Well, he says things to us like this. God doesn't answer any of your prayers. God doesn't answer any of your prayers. Any of your prayers? Any of your prayers, really? No, he didn't answer that prayer. And the reason why he didn't answer that prayer is because that prayer wasn't in line with his purpose and perfect will for your life. That's why he didn't answer that prayer. And by the way, if it's not his will, you don't want it anyway. You don't want it anyway. We are prone to think that God doesn't answer any of our prayers. In fact, if you really think about it, he's probably answered thousands of your prayers. But that one, he didn't. Well, God doesn't help me with any of my struggles. Any of them? He doesn't help you with any of your struggles? I mean, if we're really honest, if you really looked hard about it, if you really didn't skip over the wins, you'd probably find out that he's helped you with multiple of your struggles, right? And maybe the only reason he left you with that one struggle or that two struggle is because of what he told Paul. Remember when he said this? In your weaknesses, my power and strength is made perfect. In your weaknesses, my strength comes through. I'm going to help you, God says, with your struggles, but remember, in your weaknesses, you depend on me. Remember, in your weaknesses, you trust me more. Remember, in your weaknesses, you believe in me. We have to put these things in context. Don't skip over it. Don't skip over the wins and the things that God has done for your life. The devil would love to get your eyes on everything that God has not done for you. You know that? He would love to get your eyes on it so that God can be the blame. So that you will lose heart and you will lose hope and that God has your best interest in mind. That ultimately you will lose trust that God is good and that he's got you. But the opposite is true. If God can get you to look at everything that he has done for you, your faith will not shrink but expand. If God can get you to look at everything that he's done for you, the confidence you will have in God will win out. In fact, if he can get you to see the wins, the things that he's done for you, you could impact your home, you could impact your workplace, you could impact your community, all for him because your confidence and your faith has increased. I think that is why Joshua gave this list that I read to you to the Israelites when he's like, one, one, one. One, 31 times he goes through that one. The promised land, they had not been completely conquered. They had entered it yet. They had not fully conquered the promised land yet. He was trying to boost their faith, trying to raise them up. Now, I'm kind of, you guys know this, if you attend our church for a while and you've been around me for a while, you know I'm kind of a visual guy. I've kind of adopted that in my life. Like I love to look at things and say that has meaning to me, or I'm kind of like a significant guy where things have significance to me and they have meaning and I like to hang on to them. And so I have three things that I brought today to show you that I kind of keep in my office at home or here, and it just took as simple reminders of the wins, of reminders of what God has done. A few years ago, I had the privilege of going to Gettysburg to sit. I was serving under a pastor who loved Civil War history, and for his 50th birthday, the board got together and said, we're going to take Pastor to Gettysburg, and we're going to take the staff, and we're going to do this behind-the-scenes tour. They brought this historian in, and we went places behind the scene, and one of the places we went up to was where Devil's Den area, where Colonel Chamberlain from Maine had a small force, and he had to hold off the Confederate army as they were coming, charging up this hill with low supplies, with outnumbered, he had to hold them on. And so we're sitting in this place along this rock area, telling us this story of how they were being overwhelmed, and yet this small little band of Union arms led by Chamberlain held off this Union until support could come. And I sat there, and so I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I took this from there. Because it impacted me so much. I was like, hey, you know. And I just sat there and I said, it reminded me, and it says, not to forget. not to forget that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. That though the world will want to overcome me, though the world will want to influence me, God is greater than all those things. Though I might seem like I'm outnumbered, I don't want to forget that there is no obstacle too big for God. That he wins in my life because even when it seems like I'm outnumbered, God is greater than those things. And every time I look at that rock, I say, oh yeah, it may seem like greater is them, but I serve a God who's bigger than all things. Second picture I keep in my office is this one right here. I don't know if you can see it real well, but this was our first Super Bowl champion football team that my son Braden was on and I helped coach with. There's Braden, my son right there, and there's this really good looking man right there. And this was our first team that we ever, our first Super Bowl win. This team had been together since first grade. I think they're all like fourth graders at this time. I can't actually remember fourth or fifth graders, but we're together, maybe fifth grade. And what's significant, this was a newspaper clipping, and I have it framed on my wall. What's significant about this, what it means to me is I will never forget the end of this game. The game is literally, we're up by 1 point against this team. It's the end of the game, and they're driving. They're like on around the 10-yard line. All they have to do is score. It's the last play of the game, and they're going to win. And we called a timeout. So we're on defense. They're on offense. My son is a DB cornerback. And so he comes to the sideline during the timeout, and I look at him, and he is literally crying, bawling. And he's looking at me. His lips quiver, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? And his fear was, what if they throw to my side and he catches it and I'm the reason we lose? That's his whole fear. He's crying. And I'm like, you know, easy for the coach to say, I want to, boy, you know. But I want to say, hey, you confidence. You need to be confident. You need to be, that's what I wanted to preach to him. You got this. You got this. You can do this. You're confident. And he's so afraid that he is going to be the reason that they lose the Super Bowl. They threw the pass to his side. Guess what? Well, you know, we won. He broke it up, and he won, and it was this huge celebration. It was our first Super Bowl. Yes, I'm a proud dad. I have it on the wall because I'm proud, but more importantly, I have it on my wall to remind me, right, that I wanted to say that I would never forget that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. From that moment on, every day before my son ever plays a game, he says the scripture, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about wins or losses. It's about understanding that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That we don't have to be fearful, that God can help us overcome. The last one I have in my office is this chest. It's just a small little treasure chest. I kept it for me. It's something I've always given to my interns and different staff and things. But I keep this in my office as a reminder. And what I tell people, and this is for me as well, is this is where all the good stuff goes. Like the good cards when someone writes to you and says, hey, thank you for what you've done for us, or we appreciate you, or you impacted me in this way, or those meaningful things go inside this chest. And the reason that I do that, the reason I keep for myself is because how many know there will always be the negative ones too? The things that you didn't do or what you're not doing right and you're not doing good. And how many know sometimes those are smaller than the ones that we get are good, but they always outweigh the good. The bad, the critical always seems to outweigh the good. And so the treasure chest is where all the good things go. The treasure chest where all the letters go so that when you're in a tough time or you got the tough criticism, you can go back to the chest and you can pull out the letter from Jan who said, hey, thank you for praying for me. It impacted my life. Well, you can go back and say, hey, thank you for showing up at this time. What you did for our family was great. And for me, that sits on my tour so that I don't skip the wins and that I can sit back and I can remind myself to not forget that it's God who's called me. That it's God who's placed his call upon my life. And I don't have to be afraid of that. I don't have to run from that, but I can be sure of that. It's just reminders that we don't skip the wins. It's a reminder to me that God always wins. You need reminders in your life that God always gets the glory. You need reminders in your life that in spite of yourself, in spite of my thoughts, and in spite of my ways, guess what? God always wins. God always wins. And I just want to encourage you, some of you need to pull up your phone and go through your camera roll on your phone. And you need to go through and remember all the wins. Some of you need to go back and pull out some old videos and place them and sit back and pause for a minute and just watch through and remember all the wins. Some of you need to go back and read your journals. If you're a journaler, you like to write and think. Some of you need to just pull those old journals back and you need to go back and you need to reread your journals and remember all the wins. Some of you need to just pause and review and reflect and go through the details of your life so that you can really remember all the wins. Some of you need to get up in your attic and pull out all the old keepsakes and go through them one by one and remember all the wins. Because I promise you, the wins are there. We've all got wins, and we need to find them and we need to celebrate them. Listen, church, it's not been all that bad. It's not been all bad. You know what you will find when you go through the winds? You know what you're going to find? You're going to find things like this. Oh, wait, God was there. You're going to go through the winds and you're like, wait. Oh, wait, God is here. You're going to go through the winds and you're going to say, wow, that had to be God. That had to be God there. You're going to find that. And listen, I'm not naive. Some of you may be in a place where it's just tough. It's tough to count their wins right now. You're in a place in your life where it's just difficult, or maybe someday you will be in a place where it's just tough to count the wins. Can I encourage you with this second point real quick? Don't just skip the wins, but you're going to love this. Don't skip dessert. Don't skip dessert. Now listen, I'm going to read a passage to you and maybe a little long, but I promise it relates. This is out of 1 Samuel chapter 14, start at verse 24. Now listen to what it says. Now the Israelites were in distress that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath, get this oath, saying, "Cursed be anyone who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself of my enemies." So none of the troops tasted food. Now just stop there for a minute. The people would not eat because the war was not over. And I get that, but they had just won a battle. In this particular story, the Israelites had just won a battle. They were in the midst of a war, but they had won the battle. And so instead of celebrating what they had did, Saul punished them because they were not done. So he says, you can't eat anything until we're avenged, right? You can't eat anything until we're done. And so there's a difference between a battle and a war, and this is what's happening. And so they've won this battle, but they've not won the war. And so he makes them this oath for everyone. No one takes food. Then it goes on, right? Verse 25, the entire army entered the woods, and there was honey on the ground. And when they went into the woods, they saw the honey oozing out. Now, come on. Yet no one put his hand to his mouth because they feared the oath. But Jonathan, who's the son of Saul, Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people with the oath. So he reached out the end of his staff that was his hand that was in his hand, dipped it into the honeycomb, raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Come on now. Some of you right now, your stomach's like, you can't wait, you're hangry. You can't wait till, you know how it feels when food touches your mouth for the first time? It brightened him up. He's like, "Wow, this is good." Then one of the soldiers told him, "Your father bound the army under a strict oath, saying, 'Cursed be anyone who eats food today.' This is why the men are faint." And Jonathan said, "My father has made trouble for the country. See how my eyes brightened when I tasted a little of this honey?" Get that. "See how my eyes brightened when I tasted a little honey? How much better would it have been if the men had eaten today some of the plunder they took from their enemies? Would not the slaughter of the Philistines have been even greater?" Sometimes don't skip dessert. Instead of celebrating what they did, Saul punished them, right, for what they had not accomplished yet. Here's the question for us to reflect on today. Here's what it says. Can you celebrate what you did even if you're not done? Can you celebrate what you did even when it's not done? Like, can you celebrate in the beginning of the journey, even though the journey is just starting for your life? Can you celebrate in the middle of the journey, even though things aren't always perfect, but you can find the wins, right? Some people who have successfully dieted, they've asked, what was the secret to your success? Like, you've done really well. You've lost all this weight. And many of them said the one thing that contributed to their success in their weight loss was not the gym. It was not exercises. They said two words: cheat day. The reason they were successful is because of cheat day. You know what cheat day is, right? It's the one day of the week where you can eat what you want. It's that one day when you celebrate 6 days of discipline and you can eat what you want. They say, we would have never made it had we not taken time in the journey to celebrate what is not complete, but what has been accomplished already. We took time to celebrate it. Here's why this is important, church. Get this, it'll be on the screen. You cannot endure what you never enjoy. Sometimes you just gotta get off the wheel of trauma and sit back and say, oh, you know what? There are things to celebrate. It's not always bad. God is there. God is with me, and he has helped me. In the middle of your journey, in the middle of your struggles, in the middle of waiting on God, we've got to celebrate. That's why we come in here and praise and worship. You might walk in here on Sunday morning and go, I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like worshiping God. But there's something about celebrating in the middle of what you're walking through that is liberating. There's something about when you worship God, the chains fall off. And you're liberated. We've got to celebrate in the midst of whatever it is you're walking through. Like, I know, here's an example. Like, I know that all the windows in your house need to be replaced. But you did change out all the light bulbs. Good for you. Good you. Come on. I know you're 30 pounds away from your goal. But you did lose 5. Good for you. Pat yourself on the back. Way to go. Right? I know you still have debt to pay off, but you did start trusting God and tithing. Good for you. Right? You started somewhere. I know you're still grieving, but you're still here and you're still grateful. Sometimes you have to say, good job, me. Sometimes you have to pat yourself on the back and you have to celebrate. I know you're not perfect, but you did come to church today. I know you're not perfect, but you're here, which means there's a part of you that wants to build on where you are in life. And so you're here, celebrate it. You have to be able to celebrate. You have to eat dessert. And I know that's not the word you were expecting to hear in church today, you know, to eat dessert. But you have to celebrate. Maybe you think so, but let me move on. Maybe you think so far this year you haven't had any wins. We're 6 months, well, 7 actually, into this new year, or to this new year, halfway through the year. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I just really don't have anything to celebrate. I've experienced loss after loss. I've gone from trauma after trauma. I've gone from struggle after struggle. Here's another thing I want you to do. Not just skip the wins. Let me give my last one today. Don't skip the losses. Don't skip the losses. When I skip the pages of Joshua, right? I'm reading through that on these countries that they conquered and these kings. I immediately got redirected back to that. I got redirected. Because you know one of the reasons we skip the pages so fast? I started thinking just for my own life. Because we aren't invested in the loss. Think about that. Losses don't really impact us as much because we're not as invested in the loss. We don't lose anybody in these battles. They're not personal to us. That wasn't my family that went to war when I read these pages. That wasn't my cousin that died in Hebron. That wasn't my uncle that died at Ai. That wasn't my son that was taken captive at Jericho. I didn't lose an arm or a leg at Eglon. But the people of the Bible, the people that Joshua wrote this for at that time, they did. They were invested in the losses. They did not skip the wins because they had loss. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Why is it important not to skip over our losses? Because our losses add meaning to our wins. Our losses add meaning to our wins. Our losses add depth to our victories. If we don't experience loss, we can never appreciate the victories. Losses have purpose in your life. I mean, just ask someone who's lost someone that they loved. They have a whole different idea. When you lose someone that you truly love, you'll never love again the same way. You will love with an appreciation like you've never had before because loss is something you've experienced. Losses have purpose in our lives. A couple things I believe about losses. Number one, I think losses are steps. Our losses are steps. Our losses are actually steps to take us to a place that we want to be. If you're in this room today, think about your faith. How many losses did it take for you to find Christ? Because many of us are in here because we had a loss that led us to Jesus. How many losses got you to come to church? How many of you, if it wasn't for the loss, you wouldn't be where you are right now today? If it wasn't for the loss in your life, where would you be right now in this place? Listen, I believe this. God isn't someone we always turn to when everything is going great, right? When things are great in our lives, we don't always think that God's the first answer, the first turn to. But he's definitely the one we turn to when everything is going wrong in our life. So if you think about it, you wouldn't be here today if the losses had not been steps to guide you here, to guide you where you are in faith. When I think about even our own journey, like even us coming to this place, to being the pastors of Missoula 1 year and 8 months into it, and I think about all the doors that closed along the journey. You might call them losses. We call them closed doors, whatever it may be. We had so much losses to get us to the open door. To get us to the place that God wanted us to be. Steps. I also believe this. Our losses are stops. Our losses are stops. Not only do they take us to places that God wants us to be, but how many know this? Your losses also keep you from being the person you don't want to be. Your losses keep you from being the person you don't want to be. Could you imagine who you would be if you had not lost? There are things in our lives that we had to lose. Addictions, behaviors, talk, attitudes. We had to lose those things or we may not be where we are today. We may not be here. There are other things that have the potential and the ability to steal from you, to take from you, to command your attention, and most importantly, things that could ultimately become your first love. Our losses stop us from mistakes. And finally, I'd say this, and this is every time when you experience loss, our losses are stories. Our losses are stories. Because how many of you know it's your losses that you always talk about? It's your losses that you always share with others. The things that had us, that could have defined us, but they didn't. Our losses become stories. And they always mesmerize us. I have one of my very closest friends whose dad was in one of the towers that was hit by 9/11. He survived, but he tells this crazy story. His dad was thinking about everyone else as the towers were hit and they're coming down. And his dad is walking down the steps to get out because the only way they could get out of the towers. And his dad gets the idea because he worked for this company. He's like, oh, wait, I should go back and get all the computer servers so that we can have all the information that I can give back to our company. And so he went back to get the servers. And I'm like, my eyes are like this. I'm like, is he crazy? Like, I'd be like, forget the servers. I'm out of here. And he tells a story of getting all the people that died in this office building on his floor, but he saved the servers. And he's walking down the streets of New York City with computer servers because he saved them. And I'm sitting there and I hear this story of loss. And I'm like, did they give him extra money? No. Did they do this? Did they do that? No. But his dad has a story of how God spared his life. That in the midst of loss, he's still here. Every time I'm around Andrew, I probably ask him about this story. So tell me about this. Tell me about that because it mesmerized me. hear me this morning. Do you know your losses are set up for the greatest stories? Your losses are set ups for the greatest stories. And I think that is why, like, I know that the Bible was originally written not in English. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek. But I feel like us English readers, we get a double blessing from the Holy Spirit when we're reading it. Because I can hear Joshua's heart as he's speaking it. I can hear it coming out. King of Jericho, one. King of Jerusalem, one. King of Ai, one. As he's sharing their victories one by one. King of Hebron, one. When I see it and I read it, I see O-N-E. I see O-N-E. But I can't help but hear W-O-N. I see one O-N-E, but I can't help but hear C-W-O-N. Because he knows all the losses that went into each of these kings. He knew what was the steps that were being taken. When he was retelling this story of his descent to his descendants, to his children and their children. Yeah, he's saying to them, yeah, we lost 400 people in that battle of Hebron. But in the end, one. One. The king of Eglon, yeah, we that was a hard one. I mean, I took a nasty cut on my leg and I didn't know how we were going to win it, but I didn't think we were going to make it, but won. We won. The king of Gedor, that was scary. They tried to flank us. There was casualties everywhere, but won. We won. The king of Arad, that was difficult. It was a long battle, but we won. Hear me this morning. The story of your life is that in the end, you won. The story of your life, at the end of it, one after one, after one battle, after one battle, after one battle, after one battle, guess what? You won. Because you didn't skip the wins. You took back and you reflected all that God has really done for your life. And when you do that, you win. So this morning, if you'll entertain me, I made one for us here at CLC today. At CLC, I made a list for us today. And maybe one of these will resonate with you. But I made my own personal list. And it goes like this. Poverty, one. Lack of happiness, one. Politics, one. Divorce, one. Disunity, one. Grief, one. Health issues, one. Lack of provision, one. Cancer, one. Loneliness, one. Anxiety, one. Depression, one. Accusations, one. Lack of self-worth, one. Demonic attacks, one. And just so I can remind you of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, death, come on. What? 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 Say it with me. What? Jesus Christ, death on the cross. Come on. One. One. I know things aren't always easy. I know things aren't always certain. But don't skip the wins. Celebrate what God has done for you. Even in the toughness, don't skip the wins. Even in your battles or your uncertainty, don't skip the wins. Celebrate, be reminded that God really has been there for you all the way. In fact, be reminded of the goodness of God. So this morning, this sermon comes with an assignment. I know you want to hear that. School's out, right? This sermon comes with homework this morning. Are you ready for it? There was 31 kings, 31 countries that Joshua and them overcame, won. Here's your assignment. Here's what I want to give you today as a church. This is going to help you. I believe this. I want you to go home, whether you're driving in your car, you're sitting at a restaurant, I want you to sit down and I want you to think of 31 things, 31 wins that God has done in your life. 31. I want you to write them down. What are 31 things that you could point to that God has done for you so far this year? I beg you, I bet you'll find out that you can find more than 31 things, but at least 31 things that you can say, God, this is what you, sit with your spouse, sit with your children if you have it, sit with your friends or your family, and sit down and make a list, 31 things that God has done for you. for us this year. And I don't want to stop there. You know what? Some of you love social media. It's your next segment of the Bible. I want you to post it. Post your 31 things on Facebook. Maybe you just need to post it somewhere and put it at your workstation, at your desk, at your office, or wherever you work. Maybe you need to post it on a wall. You know what? Share it with me. Send me an email. Here's 31 things that God's blessed me with. Send it to the church. Post it on our website. Let's get it out there as a church. 31 things, 31 wins that we refuse to skip over so far this year. 31 things that God, you can point to. These are the things that God has done in my life. That's your homework. Let's don't make it private. Let's make it public, right? Let's make the wins public this morning because God is worthy of it, right? Like I said to you before, everything, every win ultimately points back to the glory of God. Every win ultimately points back to all that he's done for you. Why? Why do we do this? Why do we write down 30? Why do we post it? Why do we make it public? Because I believe this again, if the devil can get you looking at everything God didn't give you, your faith will shrink. If he gets you looking at everything God did, your faith will shrink. But if God can get us looking at everything he's done for us, wow, your faith will increase and you will be confident in who God is. And you will be confident in what he can do for you. So I just say this in closing. I'm expecting good things from God. I know this is July. I know we're 7 months in, but I'm still expecting good things from God this year. How many of you in the room, you're expecting good things from God this year? Come on. I'm expecting good things from God this year, right? I want to ask, man, how many of you are speaking wins over your family? How many of you are speaking wins over your church? How many of you are speaking wins over yourself? God, I don't want to skip the wins. I believe you have even more wins you want to give me in my life. More things you want to do. Listen, guys, it comes, don't skip in the wins. All comes down to this. What's your expectation? I have said this to you before. Expectations are the platform for miracles. Expectation. Start believing and speaking good things. Start speaking good things. Start speaking wins over your life. Start speaking wins over your family. Start speaking wins over your church. Listen, let's set our expectation on the wins that God has for us and the wins that God has done for us. And listen to me, when we do that, watch God meet them. Watch God meet your expectations. I believe he'll do it. Because when expectations is all it really is faith. And having the faith to say, God, I know you have more wins. You've done wins in my life, and I believe that you have even more wins for me right now. So, Lord, I praise you right now. I give you honor in this place, and I pray that this church, these people in this room, God, that we would be filled with expectation. That God would be filled to say, God, Lord, we got to count the wins, we got to count the losses, but ultimately, in the end, God, you get all the glory. In the midst of everything I'm walking through and everything that we will face, God, you will get the glory. I pray, God, that we will not skip over all that you've done for us. The little things, the big things, the insignificant things. Lord, they still have power in your kingdom, and they still add fuel to our faith. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that there would be an expectation in this room. That God, in this room, there would be a sense of, Lord, I want to speak wins over my family. I want to speak wins over my church. I want to speak wins over my own life today. Lord, we stand here at a platform of expectation. Lord, don't let us skip over. Don't let us turn the page so quickly. But Lord, let us celebrate the goodness of God this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship.
The goodness of God. Oh, I will sing. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing all my life, and all my life you have been faithful. Thank you, Jesus. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I have. I sing of the goodness of God.
This morning I want to pray for those of you maybe in the room today who are experiencing loss. Maybe you're in the room today and it's been like when I talked about that roller coaster in your life, and you're trying to find the winds. And I want to pray for you today, and I believe this, that your biggest win could be in this prayer right now. And if you're in that place and you're like, man, it's hard to count the wins. I'm just going to encourage you as I pray right now, I pray for you, man, that you would just stretch your faith to the Lord. Say, God, that's me. I want to experience your wins today in my life. So, Lord, I pray today over your people, Lord, I lift them up to you. And many of us in this room, it's hard to calculate the wins in the midst of everything else that we're looking at, in the midst of everything else we're facing and we're walking through. And I just pray that today, God, that our attention would be faced towards you. That, God, we would be willing to and sensitive to the areas you are speaking in our lives and the things you are doing for us right now. So, Lord, I pray for those today, God, that are having a hard time finding the wind. And I pray, God, that you would step them to a place of expectation. Lord, we stand before you today expecting you to do amazing things in our lives, expecting you to do amazing things in our church, Lord, expecting you to do amazing things in our community. And so, Lord, I pray today, God, that your church, as we pray now, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, Father, would fill us and remind us that you are a good God. You would remind us of the goodness of God, to not skip over all that you're doing, God, but to be reminded that you still work, that you still operate, that you're still active in our lives this morning. And as you're praying, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed real quick, I want to do this last thing. If you're here this morning and more, it all begins with you for just accepting Jesus into your life. Maybe you're at a place right now where you can't even count the wins because he's not been completely Lord of your life. Christ is not fully operating in your life, and you're at that place where you need to refocus your life personally. You need to refocus your heart and say, God, I want to give you my life. I want to give you my heart. I want to submit and surrender to you so that I can begin to... Your biggest win starts right now, by accepting Jesus into your heart. And if that's you this morning, we're not going to embarrass you, not call you forward, heads bowed, eyes closed. But if you're here and you say, I want that, Pastor, would you raise your hand up real quick so I can see you? I know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else real quick? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see hands, Lord. I see hands. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, right now I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and just consume us. Lord, there's those in here today that need to make you their Lord and Savior. They need to say, here's my life completely and wholly. So, Lord, I help that as we pray now, God, as they sit wherever they're sitting, that they would just simply call out to you and say, Lord, come into my life. Dwell in my heart. I give you my life completely. Lord, I want to begin to count the wins. And it starts today by the fact that I can say that I am living for Jesus. He has my whole heart and my whole life. Accept him today into your life. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this one time. Let's tell him how good he is. All my life.
See you.
say that God's been good to you, right? Come on, can you count the wins today? Man. I'm going to pray for you and let you go in just a moment. I just want to encourage you. Listen, you have a homework assignment. Go do it on your ride home with your spouse or friend, whoever. Talk about the wins. Write them down. Post them. Share them. Make them public. This is how God, this is the wins that he's done in my life. Don't forget that. Remind you, just two quick things. We are in the midst of getting together for membership. If you are interested in becoming a member of CLC, we'd love to have you been attending and you haven't made that commitment yet. Again, we don't require dues or we don't take your firstborn or anything like that. We just, it's about being part of the family. We have a sign-up sheet for that, or you can use the QR code in our bulletin. And then also baptism. We are setting a date for baptism. If you'd like to be baptized, we have a sign-up sheet for that as well. So I just want to remind you of that. Amen. We have Wednesday night prayer. We'd love to see you out here Wednesday night for our prayer time. It's awesome. So it's just a great time to get together. Other than that, enjoy your summer day. Let me pray for you, and we'll see you next week. Bring a friend. Lord, we just pray blessings upon your people, Lord. May your face shine upon them. May you keep them. May you watch over them, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you would prosper your church, Lord. As you go out of this place, may we proclaim the goodness of God. You are good, Lord Father, and even when we feel like we can't calculate it, you're still good. And so, Lord, help us to be reminded today of all that you have done, all that you will do, and we can have the certainty and the confidence in the goodness of our God. So may you go before us, protect us, watch over us. Those who are fighting different health issues today, we know several in our church, Lord, who are in the hospital, and those that are facing loss in different situations, we pray over them today. May your hand strengthen them, and may they see the glory of the Lord operating in them physically, Lord, we pray. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' powerful name, everybody in the house said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.